May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So there is an anecdote that I've heard a few times in a few different contexts, but I'm not sure where it originates. In this anecdote, a deaf woman has a near-death experience in which she reports to have met Jesus in heaven. Astounded, her family and friends wonder, what was that moment like for her? Was her hearing restored in this transcendental space? If so, what did Jesus say to her? They were all so curious. It was amazing, she tells them. Truly awesome. They beg for more details. What did he say? She tells them, Jesus's sign language is perfect. Rather than being miraculously healed of her disability, the woman seems instead to experience Jesus as one who knows her, who gets her, and who is able to commune and communicate with her in a profound way, not erasing her disability, but meeting her in it. What this woman knows and what Jesus affirms is that her deafness, her lack of hearing, doesn't make her any less whole as a person. The late Nancy Iceland, theologian and author of the book The Disabled God, writes about this tension. She laments all of the times that she has been told that in heaven she will be made whole. She writes, quote, having been disabled from birth, these comments led me to believe that in heaven I would be absolutely unknown to myself and perhaps to God. My disability has taught me who I am and who God is. What would it mean to be without this knowledge? End quote. No doubt the kids and teens I worked with at Children's Hospital often wondered if their illnesses, whether physical or psychological, were punishments, curses, or even cruel repayment for some transgression in a past life. In my ministry there, I tried to portray a vision of God that featured God less as a harsh puppeteer dealing blows according to one's actions, and instead to create opportunities for the children to encounter God as a source of grace within the grit, a companion on the journey. Occasionally, kids and teens were able to see, like Nancy Iceland, that their depression, for an example, was an avenue through which they could come to know God in a deeper way. They became grateful for that knowledge, which isn't to say that they didn't still seek relief from the suffering that they were enduring, brought about by their illness. But it is to say that they began to see it as a workable narrative. They began to see their life story as a story with an ending that hadn't yet been written. They began to see God as one who is at work in the midst of their mental illness, instead of one who doles it out for the sake of teaching a lesson or getting paybacks. So my question for this morning is twofold. First, how do we reconcile this passage from Mark's gospel, in which Jesus heals the demon-possessed girl and the deaf man, with perspectives such as Iceland's, or such as the deaf woman who said that Jesus' sign language was perfect? What do we make of these miraculous healing narratives alongside the view that disability is not something in all cases to be cured, but rather to be seen as part of God's epic imagination when it comes to human diversity? Secondly, what do folks like the Syrophoenician woman and the deaf man teach us about what it means to live lives of profound faith? To journey with Jesus through thick and thin and to trust deep within that the situation they find themselves in is indeed a workable one. As I think about that first question, this question about reconciling two seemingly clashing perspectives, I think the answer for me lies in Jesus' ability to meet folks where they are. Jesus does not shy away from the suffering of humanity, particularly of those who are most rejected and despised. Not just any woman, the Syrophoenician woman represents an outsider. And yet, a deep and abiding faith dwells within her. So much so that she is persistent in her plea, even after Jesus lobs a pretty stinging insult at her in a way that is so uncharacteristic for him. And that could be a separate sermon in and of itself. But it would seem that the credit for this healing story is as much due to the mother's persistence as it is to what Jesus brings to the equation. She holds him to task, making sure that he makes good on his claim that he came for the healing of the world. The healing of the world, not just for a select few. She is persistent in her plea, in part, I think, because she knows that Jesus will do the right thing. Her demanding demeanor, arising from a place of desperation, signals to Jesus that her faith is unwavering. For her, again, the narrative is workable. The ending of the story is not yet written. Her encounter with Jesus is less about fluffing him up and praising him for his many good works. As Matt Skinner writes in his exegesis of the text, quote, in Mark, faith is hardly about getting Jesus' name or titles right, nailing the right confession, or articulating proper doctrine. It's about clinging to Jesus and expecting him to heal, to restore, and to save, end quote. When I say that Jesus meets folks where they are, I wonder if it's also possible that he brings people into abundant life on their terms, not on the world's terms or even on his own terms. Could it be that Jesus understands that each person's quest for wholeness is different? For some, entailing the eradication of disease or disability, but for others, a living deeper into the particularities of their bodies and beings, not despite their disabilities, but because of them. Could it be that Jesus wants us all to experience resurrection lives and for our communities to live into resurrection values, opposing the binary thinking that sees some of us as whole and others as broken, some of us as well and others as sick, and instead seeing us all of us, as people made in the glorious image of God? People in need of God's restoration, salvation, and yes, healing. After all, as Nancy Iceland and others have pointed out, we are followers of Jesus, who himself experienced what it means to be disabled, his body distorted, wounded, and physically impaired on the cross. Iceland contended that in presenting his impaired body to his startled friends, the resurrected Jesus is revealed as the disabled God. Her New York Times obituary, when she passed away in 2009, credits her with the idea that God remains a God that the disabled can identify with. He is not cured and made whole. His injury is a part of him. I want to be clear that if you are hurting, if you are experiencing physical limitations or emotional turmoil, It is okay to be like the Syrophoenician woman and to ask Jesus, to petition him persistently to infuse you with healing. Be persistent. Jesus can handle it. But what I also want to be clear about is that if you are in pain in any way, if your body is aging or changing or can't do the things that other people's can, your body remains sacred. Your scars are part of you, and who you are is a child of God. One of the major takeaways that I wanted my patients at Children's to learn is that it is okay and healthy and good to be able to hold two or more emotions at once. A seasoned spirituality would have it that you can both hope, pray, and petition for healing, and at the same time, you can learn to befriend the present moment, even if the present moment entails psychological or physical pain, impairments, or limitations. There is a wonderful documentary that I highly recommend. It's called Crip Camp. Came out a year or two ago. It's available, I believe, on Netflix. And the documentary chronicles the glory days of a summer camp called Camp Gen Ed, a utopic place where teens with disabilities would travel up to the Catskill Mountains. And this was in the 70s and 80s. The camp was described as being loose and free-spirited, a place where campers with all sorts of different backgrounds and diverse bodies got to experience the joy of youth and the thrill and necessity of independence. Many of the campers went on to be pivotal figures in the national fight for accessibility legislation. At any point, there's a place in the film where one of the key players, one of the camp counselors, her name is Judith Heumann. She's in a wheelchair and she's interviewed back in the 70s. And this is what she says, quote, "I want to see a feisty group of disabled people around the world. If you don't respect yourself and you don't demand what you believe in for yourself, you are not gonna get it." End quote. From the Syrophoenician woman to Judith Heumann, today's message is clear. We work toward a world where all bodies are treated with the dignity they deserve. Be persistent. Be demanding. Seek healing on your own terms and let Jesus meet you where you are rather than where you think the world wants you to be. And never, ever doubt that with persistent faith, amazing things are possible. Amen.